Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I am Father Cedric Pazenia, the host of Live with Passion. I want you to know and to receive that God loves you personally. This program is all about God's love. You've all heard this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. I love that verse. That is such a famous verse. Billy Graham, who passed away at age 99 some time ago, he called this verse, John 3:16, the gospel in miniature, because this is exactly what the gospel is all about. God's love is intimate and personal, endearing, enduring, and it's for you. Yes, God so loved the whole world, but he loved you. And I want you to get that. His love is for you personally. And I wrote a book called You Are Loved because I try to help people to receive that love for themselves personally. And I also love Romans 5. Romans 5 says that God demonstrates his love for us. That, get this now, this is a jarring scripture. God demonstrates his love for us that while we were yet sinners, God loved us and sent his Son to die for us. Not when we went to church, not when we got it all together, but while we were yet sinners. So you don't have to be perfect to receive God's love. And you are loved no matter what state you are in. I remember my mom and dad, you know, talking about God's love. They grew up in the 20s. That's when they were born. And Tom Brokaw called that generation the greatest generation right before World War II. They went through the Depression. And I don't know what it was about that generation. Maybe they weren't in touch with their feelings, or maybe they weren't able to express love enough. I'm not quite sure, but they had a problem saying, I love you, to me and to my sisters. Now, I've also heard that from people my age, that their parents never told them that they loved them. But the thing about my mom and dad is they demonstrated their love for me. My dad was the most gracious, generous man. I could always trust him, talk to him about everything. Same with my mom. She took good care of me. She loved me, nurtured me, counseled me. I knew that she loved me. She just had a problem saying it. I remember one time I talked to her on the phone and I said, Mom, I love you. And you know what she said? She said, me too. And it's like, Mom, you know, what are you doing saying me too? So sometimes you think because you don't hear it from God that he doesn't really love you, but he demonstrates his love for you on the cross. Number one, Psalm 139, God was the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. You didn't just come to be from some big bang and some evolution. No, no, no. It was intentional, specific act of God to create you. That's how he shows his love for you. And then, of course, the redemption on the cross. You have been redeemed by the blood. You have been saved by the blood. You have been loved by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Oh, God demonstrates his love for us on the cross. So please don't think that, well, I don't hear from God, I don't think he loves me. No, no, you've been created. You've been redeemed. And then what about creation? Creation is a place where I sense God's love for me. You go to the ocean, you look up at the stars, you go to the mountains. Wow, it's just a matter of receiving God's love. We're a part of the whole thing. I was reading, because of the Hubble telescope, they used to think there were billions of galaxies up there. Now they've discovered, scientists are telling us now that there are trillions of galaxies up there. Paul prayed that you would know the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love. I was on a retreat one time, and about the middle of the retreat, it was a very quiet contemplative retreat. I just started writing down things that I was thankful for. Redemption, being created, God working through me in ministry, so many different things. I wrote a whole sheet of paper in Thanksgiving, and as I stood there by the window after I wrote all those things about Thanksgiving, I had this overwhelming sense of God's love for me personally. It was giving thanks that put me in touch with God's love. So give thanks. Realize that you've been redeemed. Realize that He has created you. You may not hear it, but God demonstrates His love for us. I preached about God's love in Orlando, Florida. I want to go to that service right now, and I pray that as you're watching, God's love will touch you deeply. Proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation's an evil generation. Seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so the Son of Man will be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the people of this generation. She will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there's something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the people of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah they repented, and there's something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord. So I heard about a man who saw an eagle's nest, and he took one of the little eggs out of the eagle's nest, and he brought it into the chicken coop, and he put it with all the little chicken eggs. And so all the eggs hatched together, the chicken eggs and the little eaglet came out of its shell, and they all kind of grew up together. And so the eaglet looked around, and all he saw was little chicks. So he began to eat like a chick and walk like a chick and squawk like a chick. So the eaglet thought it was a chicken. So one day he was in the barnyard, and you know, that's all he knew was being a chicken. And one day he's in the barnyard and he looks up and he sees the most beautiful eagle soaring up above, up in the clouds. And he thought to himself, "Wow, I would love to be like that eagle." Then he looked around and he goes, "That's never going to happen. I'm just a chicken." So, you know, he continued to eat like a chicken and walk like a chicken and squawk like a chicken. And then one day, as he grew a little bit older, this ferocious storm blows into the barnyard. And I mean, all the chickens started squawking and flapping. They couldn't fly. All they can do is flap. And they ran, after all, they were chickens. They ran for cover. And, but the... the eagle instinct started to take over, and the eagle held its ground, and he stood there, and he faced the storm. And as he did, the storm forced his wings open, and he began to elevate. At first he was scared, after all, he's just a chicken. But then as he started going higher and higher, instinct took over, and he started to exercise his wings. And he started, the storm was elevating him, making him go higher. And he started to exercise his wings, and he went higher and higher. Eventually, he got up in the jet stream, and he began to soar, and he had this gracious realization. He wasn't a chicken after all. He was an eagle, meant to soar. Oh, I love that story, because as I look at you, I really believe that you know, maybe you're living with some chickens, or maybe you're living with some crows or some vultures, but I have to tell you, you're not a chicken, you're an eagle, and you were meant to be an eagle. And as I look out there, some of you are bald eagles. So anyway, I need to tell you that, you know, eagles are the symbol we have for our country, bald eagle, of course. And then, you know, if you look on a postal truck, you won't see a chicken there on the outside of it, you'll see an eagle, because eagles get it done. And I remember when I was a young man, I used to listen to rock and roll, and there was a group called the Eagles, you know, and they had the song Take It Easy and Tequila Sunrise and all those different things. And I don't think they would have went very far if they were called the Chickens, do you? There's something about eagles. And really, when we talk about God's love, it's God's love that makes us rise. And did you notice that what it was that helped the eagle to get higher and to realize who he was? It was a storm. And sometimes it's the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations of life that actually lift us higher. And I've been talking to you about that all this week. So I want you to know that in my own life, I have experienced a transformation. And I've gone from a chicken to an eagle, and I'm still going higher. And I'm allowing the storm to elevate me, and I'm allowing God's love to elevate me. And exactly that's what it is. It's God's love that has brought me higher and higher and higher. Because when I grew up, and I've shared a little bit about this on Monday, but when I grew up, I had trouble with my self-esteem, and I had trouble with my self-acceptance, because it just seemed like, you know, there's always somebody better looking, or somebody more intelligent, or somebody more athletic. And, you know, I would see all these talented people all around me and just say, I'm just little old me. And I would at times reject myself and have a low self-image. But it was God's love that changed all that, because I began to base my self-worth and my self-image and my self-esteem not on my performance and not on my looks and not on my money and not on my friends and not on my education, but rather on God. Have you ever noticed that sometimes there will be actors and athletes and models that are very good looking, they're very sleek, they're very wealthy, they have a lot of fame, and then they'll get a little older and the wrinkles will come, they won't be as agile anymore, they can't perform like they used to, and they will be thrown into depression. They will actually have breakdowns. And it's because what they were doing is they were basing their self-worth, their self-esteem, and their self-acceptance on their performance and on the way they look. And so Jesus taught us about that in the Gospels. He said, don't build your house on sand, so that when the storm comes, there's that word again, when the storm comes, and he said it is going to come, and the winds blow and the floods rise, your house will collapse because it's built on sand. He said, no, rather, build your house on rock, so that when the storm comes and the floods rise and the wind blows, your house will stand because it's built on rock. So, folks, I'm tired of trying to build my life on sand, because sand is not a good foundation. I'm building my life on the rock that is Jesus Christ and his love for me, so that when I get older, when I can't preach anymore, when I'm not on television, when I'm not as good looking as I am now, when all the performance stops, I will have something stronger than all that, God's love. And no matter what you've achieved in your life to this point, I want you to know that in a way we're all equal through God's love. That's where we got to be building our life. There is no shifting sand in God's love. It's God's love that keeps us strong. I want you to know, you didn't just happen to be. You're not an accident. You didn't just evolve. Through a specific, intentional act of God, you came into being. That's exactly what it says in Psalm 139. God knit you and me together in our mother's womb. And I love what it says in the Bible. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you, God said. So in other words, even before you were born, God knew you. He knit you together, he created you, but he knew you. In fact, it says in the scriptures, before the world began, God knew us and planned our life. So in other words, you must understand that God's love reaches way back in time for each of us individually. You are distinct, you are rare, you're an individual. Even if you have a twin, there's nobody like you. God created you that way. You're distinct. And think about this. Every heartbeat, every breath, Every moment, every thought is a gift from God to you and me. And it's all God's love. It's all out of love. There are 7.6 billion people on the face of the earth, and it's growing. And God could have created this universe and left you out with all those people. Who would have known? God would have known. The only universe that we know of, this one, with all these people on it, all the people who have come before us and all the people that are going to come after us, would not have been complete without you and without me. That's the God we serve, a God who is in love with us, a God who created us. I looked this up on the internet. The odds of you and I being born, get this, 1 in 400 trillion, the odds of you being born. We have hit the lottery. We are born. And so now we got to seize this opportunity and allow God to love us. Remember Pope Benedict, German Pope? He's still alive. He retired. Pope Benedict, very scholarly, learned, intellectual, theological man. He comes out with his first encyclical, God is Love. Wow, blew everybody away because it was so simple. In fact, he says in the encyclical, not only does God love, God is love. Love isn't just something God does. Love is something God is. And so this morning, as we celebrate Eucharist, I want you to plug into that, to receive that. Those of you watching by TV, right there in your homes, I want you to realize, I want you to receive that God has created you individually. He hasn't left you out. You are loved. Even though it doesn't feel like it or it doesn't seem like it, you're loved. And so he used some words in the encyclical for God's love, some Greek words. Philia was one, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. So he talked about God's love as being brotherly, friendly. Another word that he used was eros, E-R-O-S, erotic love, romantic love. If you've read any of the mystics, you can learn about that, that God wants a loving, romantic relationship with us. And then the word that I want to spend a little time with for God's love is agape. You've all heard that before. Agape love is, how do we describe it? It's unconditional. It's intimate. It's very affectionate, very passionate. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it, but you can receive it. So God's love for us is there. It's present, and it's unconditional. So now let me lead you to this, to the Eucharist. This, I point to the altar. Eucharist is a word that means thanksgiving. In the early church, Eucharist was called an agape feast. And we called it an agape feast. Agape, there's that word, God's unconditional love. And that's what we celebrate at every Eucharist. Now, I know that you're having a year of the Eucharist in Orlando, and I want to try to help you to receive the meaning of what the Eucharist is. I talked a little bit about it yesterday in prayer. But I want you to receive God's love. So, you know, I always wanted to be a time traveler. I'll see that, remember Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox, that movie Back to the Future Part 1, 2, 3. He gets in a DeLorean and he goes back in time, he goes forward in time. I thought, what would that be like? Well, little do you know this, I am a time traveler. Let me show you how it happens. When I stand right here, right here, I actually travel back in time to the moment of the crucifixion. And what we do is we grab a hold of that moment, that efficacious, salvific, once for all. If you're not Catholic and you're watching on television, I want you to know that Mass is not an over and over again sacrifice. It's the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary. And then we bring it right into the present. It's a representation in the moment of that one sacrifice of Calvary. So in other words, I go back in time during Mass. We grab a hold of that amazing moment when Jesus said, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," and we bring it right into the moment so that we can come into communion with the salvation of Christ. Oh, it's so beautiful. And that's what Eucharist is. It's an agape feast. I have to tell you, I have led pilgrimages to the Holy Land, and I've led pilgrimages to Italy. And one of the pilgrimages that I led was to the shrines of Italy. We went to places like San Giovanni Rotondo, where Padre Pio was, Assisi, St. Francis of Assisi, Siena, St. Catherine, St. Bernardine of Siena. And one of the places that we went was, you probably won't recognize this, a place called Lanciano. Lanciano in Italy. It's a place where a Eucharistic miracle occurred. I didn't know much about it until I got there. What happened was this. There was a Basilian priest, a priest of St. Basil, 8th century. He's presiding at Mass, and he had doubts about what this really was, doubts about the Eucharist, doubts about the transubstantiation and the changing of the body and the blood of Christ. And right during the Mass, literally, the elements were changed into the flesh and into the blood of Christ. We believe that this happens, but I mean it literally happened right before his eyes. They still have these elements. They've kept them in Lanciano. And so what happened was, we went there, I remember there was about 30 of us, we went to all different shrines. This was the place where everybody got the most quiet and reverential. You could have heard a pin drop as we knelt before those elements. So, scientists from the University of Siena came, and they were allowed by the church to do some experiments on these elements to find out exactly what they were. And first, the blood. There's some blood in the globules of blood in the chalice. They took a sample of the blood, and they did some experiments on them, and get this, they found out that it was real human blood. And get this, type AB blood, which is, I would have thought it would be the universal donor, because Jesus was always giving, but it's not the universal donor, it's the type AB blood, if you have it, is the universal receiver. Jesus always receiving people, tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners. Type AB blood, very rare blood type, the precious blood of Jesus. And get this, the same blood type that was found on the Shroud of Turin, type AB blood. Next thing they did is they did some experiments on the host that they found, and as they examined it, they found out that yes, it was human flesh. And not just human flesh, get this, heart tissue. You know what that tells me? At the Eucharist, God is giving us his very heart, his very love. One time I was going to communion, and it was before I was a priest, and I was in line just like you will be in a little while, and as I'm coming to communion, just as I'm about to receive the body of Christ, all of a sudden I remembered this bracelet that my girlfriend had given me when I was in college, and it was a bracelet, I hadn't remembered that in years, and it was a bracelet that popped open, it had a little clasp on it, and inside it said, I love you. Right as I'm about to receive the Eucharist, all of a sudden I think of that, and what was that? That was God speaking to me through that image of the bracelet saying, I love you. Do you understand that Eucharist is an agape feast? We're celebrating God's unconditional, sacrificial love for us. And yes, it is a sacrifice, the one sacrifice of Calvary being brought right into the moment. And that's what love is, isn't it? It's a sacrifice. Those of you who are parents, you know. You know, I heard the baby crying a little while ago. That it's hard to bring a baby to church. It's a sacrifice. It's hard to bring hard to raise your children. It's sacrificial. You're giving to them, not just money, but your time, your effort, your emotions. That's what love is. It's not just a feeling. It is a decision to give. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes wouldn't perish, but have eternal life. So that's what love is. It's a giving thing. I heard about this story, and it was the story of what happened in Yellowstone National Park 30 years ago. You may not know this, but 30 years ago, there was a ferocious fire, burnt 1 million acres in Yellowstone National Park. It was terrible. All those acres, all the wildlife that got killed. So one day, right after the fire, that there was still some smoldering things going on, and one day the park rangers were going through to assess the damage, and as they're going through, they're looking at all the things that got burnt. They came upon a grotesque figure. It was of a bird with its wings extended like that, just charred, frozen in time by the fire. And so one of the park rangers grabbed a stick and just went over to it, and underneath the bird, 5 little chicks ran out. It was the, you know what it was? It was the mother bird. And when the fire came, she spread her wings to protect the chicks. What do we have here? We have Jesus, his pinions over us to protect us from all the fires of life. God gave us the most precious gift he could give, his very own son, his heart, his blood, his body. And as you come forward in communion, I pray this morning you will receive God's love. And for all of you watching on TV, as you've heard my word, right now, right where you are, right on your couch, as you're listening in your car, through the internet at this very moment, receive God's love. He didn't leave you out. He's there, even if you don't feel it. I love what the scripture says. Believe in the love that God has for us. There were 2 fish swimming in the ocean, and one fish looks at the other and says, "Hey, where's the ocean?" It's what we're swimming in. People are always saying, "Hey, where's God's love?" It's what you're swimming in. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.